celebration. So what we're going to do now, we're going to get everybody to get your bread, and you're going to come up. They're going to come and sing. And as they're singing, we want you to go ahead and bring it up and just set it up here. And I'm going to talk about the bread just a little bit. Now, I'm just going to give a couple of things tonight because we want to have time that we can just hang out and fellowship and just enjoy the food that we have here. Tomorrow will be the rest of the teaching on Shavuot. So I just want you to note that I'm just going to cover a few things tonight. But this is the day of Pentecost is what we would know in the Brit Hadashah. The New Testament would be that Pentecost would be where we get the 50 from. So we've been counting the Omer since first fruits. First fruits is when we celebrated the resurrection. The Bible declares that Christ is the first fruit among many brethren. So he's the first. There's nobody else but him. And then we follow after that. How many thank God that we have somebody who proved that though you die, yet shall you live. And that's in Christ. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, without that hope, what are we doing here? We might as well get a social club started and go hang out and do that. Just visit. But we're not here to visit. We're here to celebrate the fact that when God makes a promise that he's going to raise you from the dead, he proved he would do it in his own son first. And that's why he's called the first fruit. So then after the first fruit, he says, start to count the Omer. The Omer is also a sheave. And it's the cutting of the grain. The grain is cut and the sheave is put up. And then we count the Omer, we count 49 or 7 weeks. And then on the next day, tomorrow, it says tomorrow, which is the 49, 7 times 7, 49 plus 1 will be 50, is where they get the word Pentecost from. And then Acts chapter 2 comes into play. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. They were all thinking about the same thing, hoping for the same thing. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was worrying about what church they belonged to. They were in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. How many of you know that's what we need? That's the only thing going to help the world today. You're not going to vote in the right person. You're not going to get the right political party. It will never happen. There's only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords that's going to straighten this up. And that's our Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, our Christ, the Savior. He's the only one. And I'm so thankful that he gives us a promise. What's the promise? He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. Now, Shavuot means the giving of Torah. That's what we just did. The reading of the Torah. Every Saturday, we have a Torah portion where we read, and it won't be long. We're getting close. We're going to go through the entirety of the Bible together as a church. And we told you, you know how you tried it many years, so I'm doing the Bible this year. First of the year comes. But this year, you're gonna do it because we're going through it together. And how many have been learning anything from the Torah, from the portions? Now, that was Mount Sinai. That's Shavuot. And then we want to explain to you about the loaves. I'm going to take a little bit of time, not much, because I want to give some time to spin in the back. But I want to explain the two loaves. So what I'm going to do is get them to come sing a song. And they're singing a song, so you bring your bread and set it up here. There's no special place to put it. There's different boxes underneath here. Just set it. And then we'll give everybody a chance to take a photo or whatever of the display. And I'm going to explain to you what it means. What it means, because in the feast of Passover and unleavened bread, it was the barley harvest. But now is the wheat harvest. Now I want to tell you this. It's the only time the grain is to be presented to the Lord with leaven. The only time. He says, put leaven in it. And I'm going to explain that to you. Why did he say that? It's the only time. Other than that, it's unleavened bread. And he talks about remove the leaven, right? Because it represents something. It's so important. Listen, if you take somebody out of bondage, which we all were part, we all know about being in bondage to ourselves and our past and our own iniquities. And you give them to a place where you could strip away all of the past and all the bondage. If you don't give them instructions, then what would they do? So why did we have a Shavuot? He said, I'm going to give you my instructions now. This is what you do. I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm going to give it to you. Here's what you need to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, I don't know about you. Just me saying that gives me the chills. I think about how incredible God is. He didn't just save us, get us out of Egypt, but he said, here's what you need to do now. Here's my instructions. And that's what Torah means. Torah simply means my instructions. How many remember we just done the instructions or whatever it was that come our way? If it was our friends' instructions, we did what they did. If it was somebody else, we just hung out with them and whatever instructions they gave us, we just followed their instructions. Well, when you come to the Lord, you have to follow his instructions. And he has instructions in the scripture. And hopefully we'll learn something tonight in that tomorrow we're going to finish the teaching dealing with the Passover. So y'all go ahead and start singing. As they start singing, everybody stand and come and make your presentation. And just put the display up here, and then you can return back to your seats. We're going to we'll cover what it means on these loaves. Leviticus 23, verse 15 and 17 through 17. You shall also count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheave of the wave offering. There shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling place 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Verse 21 says this, on this same day you shall make a proclamation. And that is important because that's what we're singing in this song. I surrender to you. He said, you shall make a proclamation. That's what he did. His proclamation was, I'm going to give you Torah. Here's my instructions. Here's what I'm going to do for you as your God. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Now, we want to make a proclamation. How many really mean when you say, Lord, I give it all to you. I surrender it all to you. Not what I want. You know, that's what Christ did. He was in the garden. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Not mine, your will. He gave everything. And so many times we want to serve God. We want the benefits of serving God. I don't think there's anybody here, if I ever sat down with you and asked you, hey, do you want to spend eternity in destruction to be forgotten? Or would you want to spend eternity in the wonders of the glory of the Most High? Everybody wants to pay. I want to be with God. Well, in order for that to happen, we got to follow His instructions and we got to make a proclamation. Our proclamation today is, Lord, I surrender all to you. And from time to time, it's a revisiting of the covenant that we have to remember. And Shavuot also is the time of the betrothal. That's why the Holy Spirit came as a sign and a seal of our inheritance. It's the betrothal. What's a betrothal mean? Well, in the scripture, it means this. We're not living with Him yet, but we're promised to Him. So we should act like we're engaged. So once you're engaged, you don't keep seeing others. There's a betrothal that took place. I promise, it's the promise from Jesus. He said, I promise I'm going to come back. You go to Jerusalem and you wait until you be endued with power from on high. And the seal or the earnestness of the Spirit. Earnest. How many of you ever heard of earnest money? What is that? That's a down payment. You put earnest money down on something and you're going to come back and purchase one day. It's a down payment. How many of you know He put a down payment on all of us? Isn't that amazing? Just makes me want to shout hallelujah. We have earnest money put down. It's a betrothal. I promise I'm going to be yours. How many here want to say, well, I promise? It's a proclamation. I promise that I'm not going to go and cheat on you. I'm not going to go and try to do what I used to do before. I make my promise to you that I'm yours. The betrothal. And we're waiting, and we've been waiting. One day, the Father is going to say, Son, go get her. The church is represented as the her. Go get her. Go be in that wedding. Let's let it happen. What a day that's going to be. Sometime I believe we go to church and it just becomes routine and we lose sight of what we really, really been going for. So we over-programize ourselves. We got a program for everything that we don't even talk about these things hardly anymore. That's why He put the feast in place as reminders, markers, to let us know this is a real deal. Amen. Isn't He good? Wow. One more time. I surrender all. Make your proclamation. Make that proclamation. Everything I give to you with no being nothing. the two loaves, I want to cover just some of this real quick, and I may be able to touch on some of this again tomorrow, but I want to give you at least some instruction on what's happening here on the two loaves. And I tell you, I appreciate everyone for participating and taking your list and doing the things that help with putting this on and getting it done. It really is a benefit, and I appreciate that. In Leviticus 23, verse 9, I'm going to just cover some of these verses and give you some insight on these two loaves. It really is amazing that we could be involved or take part in using these as the symbols to remind us. These are reminders. And now you can, how many can see why the enemy would try to persuade the believer to go down a path where we celebrate more pagan ideas than we do the biblical ideas? That's the reason. Because there's no reminders there. It's very superficial. It's all about how you makes you feel good. You get real bubbly and happy, and it's a celebratorial type feeling, but there's no change. Then all you do is just repeat it the next time. This ought to engage you to the core. This is an engaging word that we have when we look at what these feasts represent. In Leviticus 23, verse 9, that's going to be, go to 66. You got it? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheave of the first fruit of your harvest to the priests." The sheave, again, is the omer. Remember that, the omer. The omer and the sheave are, that's a good way to help you remember what he's talking about there. Bring in the sheave to the priest. "He shall wave the sheave before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now on the day when you wave the sheave, you shall offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, and 1/4 of a hin of wine. Until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generation in all your dwelling place." The wave or the sheave was to be an offering of the first fruits of the harvest. They were not allowed to eat any of the grain of the first harvest until after this offering was made. Because we give to the Lord first. It's the first fruit. What did the wave sheave represent? The wave sheave, what did it represent? Why was it called a wave offering? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead." Christ has been raised from the dead. So what do you do when you take the bread and you wave it? What are you doing with it? You're taking it from one place and you're waving it to the Lord. "Now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." Those who are asleep, who is he talking about there? The dead. Remember that. What does he say in Ecclesiastes? The dead know nothing. Their thoughts are vanished. They know nothing. But who's the first fruit of those who are asleep? Christ. So he's given us opportunity at that. Now this is, when doing this in the Leviticus instruction, Christ hadn't even come yet. That's how, can you imagine, God sends forth these prophetic utterances by his instructions, and it hadn't happened, but he knows it's going to happen. It's called prophecy. It's a prophecy, and Christ has fulfilled the prophecies. I mean, thank God for that. You think that's how you check out, how do we know he's the Messiah? How do we know? There are many Christs who came, many that called themselves Mashiach. That's how they would say it then. We use the word Christ because it's the Greek translation. But there were many that would say, I'm Mashiach, I'm Messiah. How do you know? They had to fulfill the prophecies. And only one did that. I mean, as I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but I will tell you, only one has done that. And I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to have been introduced to the one true HaMashiach. Amen? Our Messiah. Oh, who or what did the wave sheaf represent? Who is the first fruits? Yeshua, the first fruits. He is the first fruits of all who will be born unto Yahweh. Yod Heh Vav Heh. You see that there. And that's the Tetragrammaton, which would be translated Lord in our Bibles. L-O-R-D. Problem with that is there are lots of Lords. Not many people know how to distinguish them. So what the King James did to help, he capitalized L-O-R-D to help. He could have helped them even better if he'd have just put Y-H-V-H. That's what it's in the original manuscript. Why not just keep it? It'd have been a lot of help because he didn't capitalize every time. They were missteps. And so we don't know. Sometimes you don't know what Lord he's speaking of. Is it a master? Is it a lesser Lord? Or is it the Lord? So it caused lots of confusion over a long period of time. But the original manuscripts would have had YHVH. Isn't that something? Just leave it. So easy, right? There's no confusion. You think we'd have used YHVH when they called Moses Lord? No. What about when Abraham was called Lord? No. They'd have all been lesser lords, right? So that's something to keep in mind. Very important. So the first fruits of all who would be born unto Yahweh's kingdom. What about the two loaves of bread that we are to wave, a wave offering on Shavuot? What could those loaves represent? So let's talk about it just a little bit. Leviticus 23:17. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. How many see the Lord there? I capitalize it because that's how it's spent. But that would be to Yahweh or to YHVH. That's how it would have been in the original. So keep that in mind when you're looking at it. Notice that these loaves are also a first fruit offering. Remember that. This is a first fruit offering. Even for us now today, it's a first fruit offering. Because we're going to make a proclamation. It's almost like, okay, now let's really think about this because the betrothal takes place. Until this point, there's no betrothal. The betrothal takes place. Are we looking anymore? Are we interested in anybody anymore? Well, we shouldn't be. It's our life is kind of going in a direction that we make commitments. It's called a covenant. We made a covenant with God. And so we're showing. We bring our first fruit offering, and we're bringing the wave offering. If the wave sheaf represents Yeshua ascending to the Father, then what do these two wave loaves represent? So the sheaf, the first fruit, represents what are the two loaves represents? Why were the two loaves to be leavened? Remember that. They're leavened, and we've been celebrating unleavened bread. And we talked about all the leaven. You got to get rid of the leaven. And it represents the teachings of somebody else. Remember he said the teachings of the Pharisees, you got to get rid of that leaven. So what is it going to do to replace the leaven? Because we eat unleavened bread. Remember 7 days of unleavened bread, everybody's like, man, I want a loaf of bread. Right? None of the normal grain offerings were ever to contain leaven. None of them. Leviticus 2:11. No grain offering which you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. So he's telling us, that's the Leviticus account. But this one, he says, I want you to put leaven in it. Unless it's specified, we don't put leaven. So Yahweh specifically told Israel to leaven the loaves that were to be offered, and also notice that these loaves were to come from the people. Hence, we ask you to bring the loaves. Right? The loaves were to come from their own dwellings. Should we participate? Well, of course. If we participated in the world, how many was a participation? You participated in the world. Anybody here? I mean, you go on. That's what you do. Well, that's what we should do in the kingdom. When we're dealing with God, we ought to be participants. We ought to be saying, "Okay, Lord," and you got to be passionate about it. Because remember, the proclamation is not a congregational proclamation. It's your proclamation, and we're just doing it as a congregation. Because what one says on the same seating area you're on doesn't apply to you. So one can say, "I surrender all to thee." And you might hum it, but their surrender is not your surrender. This is your proclamation. You got to decide that. That's why two people can be in the same service, hear the same message, and one blessed and the other cursed. So it's from your dwelling. What did the leaven and the loaves represent? John 6, 32 through 34, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread. Is it not Moses that has given you the bread out of heaven? It is, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." So we have a similarity in that, because when you get this bread, it gives life. Then he says to the woman at the well, "The water I give, you'll never thirst." There's a similarity there. There's something we get from him that changes everything. It's not the same. See, we can eat the bread from the world, or even the manna. They ate the manna from heaven. And so they Moses, when this starts happening, he becomes their guy. You know, he's our guy. You know what he says? He said, "They ate the man in heaven and did what? They died. But the true bread." You see, there's true bread. There's true bread that comes down. And Christ claims to be the true bread. So you eat this bread, you'll live. It gives life. And so, naturally, they said, "Lord, always give us this bread." I would want that bread always, too. When Yahweh brought Israel out of the Mitzrayim, they were de-leavened. Why do you de-leaven something? You de-leaven it because the leaven represented the teachings and the ideas that weren't going to line up with God's instructions, the Torah. And he's going to give them the Torah at Mount Sinai. So they go from, he brings Israel out of the Mitzrayim, and so before they got to Mount Sinai, and they crossed what? They crossed through the Red Sea. There's a reason for that. There's a reason to go through that. It's what we can would may consider the baptism. Being immersed in what God wants us to be in. A cleansing or a representation of us identifying with what Christ does for us. And the de-leavening began, and then he began to feed them on manna, which he provided for them. The manna represented the word, Yeshua, that was going to come down with the bread of life in the future. So it was representation of that. Did they have to plant the manna? Did they have to cultivate the ground for the manna? No, it just was there. The leaven in the loaves represents the people being leavened with the true word. So before you can get the true word in you, you don't want to put them in at the same time. You can't have the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Messiah. So what do? You de-leaven. That's why you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread after Pesach or Passover. There's a reason for that. So Christ dies, we do what? Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then what happens in the middle of Unleavened Bread? We have the resurrection, the first fruit. Then we count the Omer, 49, all the way to the 50th day, which is Pentecost or Shavuot. Here we are. Then he says, bring leaven loaves, because now you got my instructions in you. How could you go wrong with just God's instructions in you? The only way you can go wrong if you still got a little bit of the leaven of the Pharisee. And we got to weigh it out. That's what people do. Well, you know, I kind of believe this. Well, you can kind of believe whatever you want. The instructions of God are very clear. You do this. If you do it, you're blessed. If you don't, you're cursed. That's what he says. He says it's simple. He just lays it out there. You do this, blessed. Blessed going in, blessed going out. You don't do it, you're cursed going in, cursed going out. You got no future. That's why we bring the loaves down. We say, and then when bringing the loaves with the leaven, think about it. Isn't that beautiful? With the leaven. And then we what do? We make a proclamation. I'm all yours. I'm still holding true. I'm on that promise. I'm betrothed to you. Don't you think maybe every year until Christ returns, we ought at least put that to thought? You know why it's hard to put it to thought? We're too busy celebrating all kind of other things, and we don't even have... How many know that this is rare? This is rare. But listen, I told you at the beginning, if we're going to seek for truth and go back and look at the scripture for ourselves and seek for truth, you know what's going to happen? It's going to change a lot of stuff that you thought was the right thing. And that's what happens. He removes the leaven and he fills you with his instructions. And he says, let this be a perpetual thing. If he says it's perpetual, we ought to keep doing it until Christ returns. Amen? Because I tell you, this will help you remember some things. So, the word or the leaven, loaves, represent the people being leavened with the true word, the bread of life, after they have been de-leavened and purified from the world or that system. You think they needed it? What happened when Moses went up on the mountain and he began to speak the instructions and they delayed coming down and the people said he probably not coming? And so they went to Aaron and said, make us a god. And they took the gold and brought it to Aaron and he made a calf, right? A golden calf. Where'd they get that idea from? Sure didn't come from God, because remember, he's up there getting the instructions. Where did that idea come from? They was in Egypt, where they did that for over 430 years. How many of you know we came out of a system? You don't just like, okay, I decided to go to church. All right? Well, you could decide to go to church, but guess what you're bringing with you? All them ideas you had before you started deciding to go. And so you got to be de-leavened. Because then what happens is you think you can still do those things and go to church. I know that don't happen in Burris, but in other places it probably happens. Can we still do those things? Well, listen, you might say, well, I'm going to do what I want. That's fine. You know, people say that because they think they can get at me or somebody else. It ain't got nothing to do with me. What you do, you're doing to God. And you're going to have to take that up with him. Now, we do time sometimes. I used to. When I first started pastor, I took more personal. I don't take it personal no more. I've learned. I'm Jesse Morris. I'm not Holy Spirit. I can't make you do anything. I can only tell you what the Word says. Now, if you want to reject the Holy Spirit, which is the earnestness of your inheritance, or the betrothal ring, that's on you. Because you're going to, listen, let me just go this far. You're going to commit adultery on God. Ain't nothing I can do about that. And you got to be careful with that. Because if you commit adultery on God, you'll commit adultery on your spouse. Will a man rob God? If you rob God, you'll rob your neighbor. I didn't even expect to go there. I was talking about bread. Let me get back in here. I wasn't even going to preach. I told Brother John to do a few slides. I might ought to save this for tomorrow. What did that mean? That could depend on how you take that. So, I'm stopping. If the wave sheaf represents Yahweh rising up to the Father, do the loaves represent something ascending as well? If these 11 loaves came from the people themselves, and they were also called first fruits to Yahweh, what do the loaves picture? The resurrection and the transformation of the set apart one. So when you came in with your basket, you're saying to all of us, we are, this is your proclamation, we are the resurrection and the transformation of the set apart one. That to me, I just can't, look, I know we ain't even finished with today. We got tomorrow still in Shavuot. I can't wait till next year. That's the excitement, that's the joy, that's the drive we should have when it comes to celebrating the feast days of the Lord. This is not Jewish feasts. Everybody said, man, that seems Jewish. The Lord said, these are my feast. That's what he said. He said, these are my feast. So we can call them Jewish, whatever. Listen, let's just say you could call them Jewish feast, okay? What is happening to the northern tribe? What about the 10 tribes of the Goyim, which are the nations or the Gentiles that dispersed the lost house of Israel? You know what Christ says? I've come for the lost house of Israel. Everybody say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you didn't leave me out there, separated forever. He came for the lost house. So this is saying, again, and hope that you'll get this, the resurrection and the transformation of the set apart one. There's been a transformation. We went from the unleavened to the leavened. Now, what's in me is his instructions. That's what I'm following. That's what makes you a different, makes you different. And he talks about that difference. I'll give you this last, I don't even know if I could find it real quick. I'm going to give you one more verse and then we'll stop. I'm skipping around because I had this laid out for the entirety of the service for tomorrow. And 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that's slides 14. I've been all over the place. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you, how many see that? But you are a chosen race. Isn't that something? You know, sometimes you don't feel special. Sometimes you feel like, you know what? Everybody else has got this and that. And you're feeling kind of lonely and afraid and you feel like you've been forgotten. Let me just help you tonight. Let me just tell you, every one of you here, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Isn't that something? A people for God's own possession. So that you may do what? Proclaim the excellency of Him. Aren't you thankful that we proclaim the excellency of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? You know, I was sitting home a while ago, and I had my presentation's been done. It's been in. I said, Lord, give me one more verse to add. That was it. I just put that when I got here. I put that in. That verse right there. Just one more verse. Give me something, Lord. I just asked him. Just simply asked him. Could you imagine not having this verse tonight? This is a help me verse. That right there, that does something for me. Because it tells the story of why we do what we do. Why should we be participating in this? It tells the story. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that something? Let's stand. I want to just pray. And we're going to continue this in the morning. But we want to go as, and listen, I don't know if everybody's got your photos, whatever you're going to do, but come back up and get your bread. It's got to be set on the tables in the back so they can start cutting it. And we're going to have, just go back there, just get you a plate, and just enjoy yourself. Stay in fellowship and encourage each other. And get on this topic we talked about. Talk about it. How wonderful this is. And just exciting. I'm excited about in the morning. Amen. That we come and go back through the scripture and see what this all means. God is amazing.